be to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Here's a question for you. Does it matter to you if this story is true? The story about the widow with her dead son. Does it matter to you if this story is true? Now, I'm not asking that in the sense of testing your orthodoxy, you know, whether you think the whole scriptures are inerrant and true or if you think they contain errors and have myths. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is unapologetically standing on the inerrancy of scripture. The whole word of God is true. I'm not asking you that. I'm not asking you in that sense. I'm asking you, does it matter to you if this story is true? Not a right or wrong question where you can answer right or wrong and then go about your day unchanged. No, just not like that either. Does it matter to you if this story is true? Does it matter at all to you? Does it matter in the sense of what's the doctor going to say when he reads me my scan type question? Does it matter when you ask, is my son going to be okay? That type of question. Does it matter what the woman you love is about to say to you type question? Does it matter if this story is true? For most of you, probably not. I can see it on your faces. Pastor, if you knew what kind of week I had, if you knew all the problems on my plate right now, you wouldn't be asking me if this story matters. I don't want to think that hard. If only you knew the problems on my plate. If only you knew, you would know this story doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to you. Because you're not the one holding a dead child in your arms like this widow. It mattered to her. The story matters to her. Elijah, the prophet, comes into a town called Zarephath, and he's staying with a widow. And while he's staying with her, her son dies, the only thing she has left. And Elijah takes this son upstairs, and he stretches himself out three times across the sun, and he cries out to God, "Oh Lord, my God, let this child's life come back into him." And God listens to his prayers, and the son comes back to life, and Elijah runs down the stairs, and he puts him in the mother's arms and says, "See, your son lives." And the widow says, "Now I know you're a man of God, and that the word in your mouth is truth." Oh, this story, it mattered to her. Does it matter to you? Jesus comes into a town called Nain, and there he sees a widow carrying out her dead son on a bier. And Jesus is greater than the prophet Elijah. He's God's own son. He's God in human flesh. And he looks at this widow, and he has compassion on her. But he doesn't pray like Elijah. He goes right to the dead son and says, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he did. He comes back to life. He sits up and begins speaking. You ever wonder what he said? What did he say? Whoa, what a trip! Yeah. Did he just pick back up where he had left off 3 days later? So I was saying. Yeah. What did he say? Oh. Too bad this didn't happen in America, 2016. He could have wrote a book about it and made millions. People literally kill to be dead for 30 minutes and to come back and write about their visions and dreams. What did he say? We don't know. Imagine how odd that must have been for a dead man to sit up and begin speaking. That doesn't happen. But Jesus did it by simply speaking his word. He's greater than Elijah. He doesn't have to pray. He just speaks. And that man's life was changed from dead to life. And the crowd's response Oh, they don't echo the words of the widow in Zarephath that says, "You are a man of God." No, they say, "God has visited his people." Hey, a man of God, that's a man of God, someone you respect, someone you can walk up to, shake their hands, talk to, ask questions. But God himself? What's that like when God shows up and is present? Fear seizes them. They're speechless. Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. Stand back. Jesus is God. He's greater than Elijah. He's not just a prophet. And he speaks truth. Elijah, the word of his mouth contained truth, but Jesus is much more than that. Jesus is truth. Jesus is the word of God, the divine word of God in human flesh. Jesus is truth. He is the word, and he has power over death. The psychoanalyst Gregory Zilborg coined this phrase that every single one of you, me included, we operate with this illusion of immortality. In other words, you're convinced that you're not going to die. You forget about death. Because our days are filled with all of our tomorrows, our hopes and dreams of the future, that we have this illusion that we're immortal. Which is why this story doesn't matter to you. Because you haven't seen the grave yet. Truth has a way of shattering those illusions. For that widow, that was truth. Holding her dead son in her arms, that's reality. Death is true. God has declared it for our sins. The wages of sin is death. It's true. And that widow saw it, holding it in her arms. And it shattered all of her illusions. Because truth is greater than your illusions. It mattered to the widow. Does it matter to you? Life is hard. I know you have a lot of problems on your plate. I know some of you are dealing with some pretty big issues. Problems in your marriage, problems paying the bills, problems at work. Some of you are dealing with problems that are really hard and deep. I know. And it hurts to have all these problems to wake up to every day that you can't seem to shake. And they're real. And the Lord cares about you. That's why he's brought you into his body, so that we can care for one another. But I'm here to remind you of your greatest problem that you like to forget. And that's the grave. Death is mankind's greatest problem. It hurts when it strikes, when you have a loved one laid in your arms that's dead. And then your tomb stares empty, wide-eyed and open, waiting for you as well. But I know a man who went there before, and he came walking right back out 3 days later. And Jesus' victory over the grave is greater than your tomb. His atoning sacrifice on the cross is greater than even the worst of your sins. Even the ones that you fall into again and again. His spirit that lives within you is greater than your sinful flesh. His abiding presence is greater than your unshakable fears that grip you every day. His everlasting kingdom is greater than anything this world has to offer, because God has put open to shame all of our enemies, all of our problems in Christ, in his cross. God has triumphed over the grave in Christ for you. And those who have ears to hear know that it matters. That's the only thing that matters. His death for me, his resurrection from the grave. He's put to an end the greatest problems of mankind, hunger and poverty, ungodly and misguided love, all of our sin, even the grave itself. And it's changed you. You look at the grave and you say, "Oh, death, where is thy sting?" You rest peacefully at night, no longer fearing God's judgment, because you know his wrath and justice has been poured out on another for your sake. You no longer fear the Lord's judgment, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you who have been forgiven for every little thing you've done, you're quick to forgive others. You've been changed from death to life. And you're quick to confess, but even quicker to forgive. You count others more significant than yourselves, caring for one another, bearing each other's burdens, and you seek the good in others. Story matters. We know it does. We're children of God. But what about those who don't have ears to hear? Does this story matter to them? To the lost and to the atheist, to the one who hasn't been to church in 20 years, does this story matter to them? If I could, tomorrow, I would go to the next funeral in Clinton and I would raise that dead person back to life. Think of how much faith that would create for people. If I could, I would. I'd go to downtown Square Clinton and raise him back. He'd sit back up and begin speaking. And everyone would be standing there amazed and faith would come. If I could, it would. But it wouldn't matter. Jesus told a story and he said, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if even someone from the dead should rise. We have Moses and the prophets. We have the Word of God, and that is greater than any miracle. The Word of God that declares to the world that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, that he died on the cross to atone for the sins of the whole world, that he was buried in a tomb and 3 days later he was raised from the dead. And this Jesus has promised to come back and raise us too from the grave one day. His word has declared it true. His word declares it to happen. And that word we sow, that word that raised a dead son back to life, lives within each one of you. That living and breathing and moving active word of God, it lives within you. And there's nothing greater than we can do than to sow it. And our conversations with one another, as natural relationships develop and they ask questions about your faith and your church, we give them the word. It's greater than anything else that we can give. And your relationships at home, as you lead into a closer communion with the Lord at home, we share the word with one another. And here at church, we share the word. We're filled up with his word. His word is greater than anything else. And fear seized them, and they glorified God. And this word went throughout all of Clinton and Henry County. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.